The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. Our guest today in the studio, actually on the phone, is, Carrie Granz. She's the program coordinator for the Thumb Community Health Partnership. We're going to be talking about, happens to be Suicide Awareness Month, and we're going to be talking about some of the programs that we have locally and a special event coming up. Thanks for being with us. Can you hear me, Carrie?
Yes, I sure can.
Okay, you are here, and you're going to be talking about some of the suicide awareness prevention programs coming up and a special walk you've got coming up. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
First of all, is it the whole month is Suicide Awareness Month?
Yes, September is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. It's time to really raise awareness on this stigmatized and often taboo topic. We are really hoping to shift the public perception and hopefully use this month to spread hope and vital information to people affected by suicide. Our goal is to ensure that individuals, friends, and families in our community have access to the resources that they need to discuss suicide prevention and to seek help.
Has some of the stigma come off of suicide? I know years past, I think it was a lot more intense, but even so, there are things that people have to deal with the suicide of a loved one or a friend or whatever that, you know, really doesn't need to be there. It's a stigma.
And really the stigma is something that as a partnership and as a community, we have resources that are really trying to break that stigma. In each of the four counties that we work in here on Santa Ana, Tuscola, and Lapeer County, they each have a suicide coalition, which is really trying to bring awareness of the resources that we have in the communities, as well as kind of really try to break through that stigma. Something that I think we talked about in a couple of months ago was MAN Therapy that the Thumb Community Health Partnership brought to the area as well, which is really trying to reshape that conversation among men and their mental health, and really trying to break through that stigma that surrounds it. I think we mentioned too is that the events coming up throughout the month is really trying to bring awareness. In each of the four counties, there are suicide awareness walks. Most of them are actually happening this weekend. Huron County is at the Huron County Nature Center in Port Austin on Saturday from 9 to 12. Sanilac is also on Saturday from 9:30 to 12 at the Sanilac County Fairgrounds. And then Tuscola County is on Sunday, September 12th from 1 to 3 at the Tuscola County Courthouse. So there's lots of opportunity to join in this awareness month and to really walk. Those walks are available to remember those who we have lost and to support the survivors and the family members that are still with us here today.
When we were talking about the stigma, it seems like it's almost more directed against the survivors than the victim, because they're the ones who have to deal with it in the aftermath. Seems unfair.
Yes, and that's really, again, what this whole month is about, is to really bring out that, you know, the survivors are here with us and to continue to support them on their journey, especially in their mental health journey, and really trying to, again, bring awareness for mental health. I think, you know, in a rural community, there's lots of stigma that surrounds mental health and seeking that professional help, and really trying to break that. And suicide is something that is not talked about enough. And so, again, you know, that's the point of this month, is to bring that conversation to the surface and to show people that it's okay to talk about suicide and to talk about their mental health. As I mentioned, suicide is the second leading cause of death for people ages between 10 and 34. That's very alarming. And we really need to, as a community and as a nation, really start making the conversation about mental health normalized and regular, and showing people at a young age that it's okay to be okay, it's okay to not be okay.
You mentioned that that we don't talk enough about it. Is that one of the reasons that people miss the signs and end up with the guilt of, why didn't I see this? Why didn't I do something in the end?
Yes, I would definitely say so. I mean, I'm not a mental health expert, but the risks of suicide are oftentimes frightening, and people obviously, you know, don't want to talk about suicidal thoughts because it is a scary situation oftentimes. But, you know, being able to reach out to family and loved ones is so important, and being able to have those connections. And I think also just the warning signs that are available and can be seen oftentimes. We know, I guess from just from, you know, launching Man Therapy, something that's often identified is that suicide is a complex issue and there's no one single cause. Instead, it has many contributing factors such as health conditions, social risk factors, stressful life events, and many other things. And so, you know, again, bringing that awareness to realize that it's more than just one single cause that may be pushing someone to the edge. And so we hope to bring awareness and bring support to those that are having struggles in their lives, and realize that there are many resources available here in our communities that can help support them. So whether it be those suicide coalitions that we have available in each of the four counties, or reaching out to your community mental health agency to ask for help, or it is a simple phone call to the suicide hotline that's available 24/7, 7 days a week.
And I believe, can you access that through 211 if you can't remember the whole number? Will they get you to the right place?
Yes. You can dial 211, and they will direct you to that National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. But an easy way to kind of remember the Suicide Prevention Hotline is it's 800-273-TALK. And so, you know, being able to remember that is huge. And I know in the next few months, and I believe within the next year, they're actually going to be changing the Suicide Hotline number to a simple three-digit number as well.
Well, you know, you got to make it easy because you don't want people to get frustrated and stop trying.
Yes, exactly.
You gave a rather young demographic for how the people who are most prone to suicide. Is part of the problem that we don't talk about it? A lot of times when parents are raising their kids, you know, they don't talk about certain things because you think it's going to plant an idea in their head. They don't give them the sex talk, and not talking about suicide. Is there sometimes a fear that you're going to give somebody the idea?
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing, you know, as, you know, parents are raising their children, is the generational changes that are happening in our communities and in our country, with the normalizing the conversation about mental health and normalizing the conversation about suicide. And it's just important to realize that it's okay to talk about suicide. You know, obviously when a suicide happens in our small communities, it impacts a lot of people. And we really hope that, you know, as times change and as we become more, aware and familiar with the concept of mental health and the concept of suicide, and realizing that suicide is not the answer, but to be able to realize that, you know, suicidal thoughts are a symptom just like any other, and that they can be treated and they can improve over time. And I think that's just something that as a community, and like I said, as the whole state and as the whole U.S. is something that we are going to hopefully shift and make it a priority to be able to make the mental health conversation normal.
How does the average person get up to speed on what to look for? I would assume that things like, you know, your educators, they know what to look for signs of depression. I would think doctors. But what does the average person look for? Because as kids are growing up, it's just like, oh, they're just being a teen.
Yeah. So something that's really, really interesting, or something that's available to anybody, is that the National Alliance of Mental Illness They have a website called NAMI.org, and you can view and look up any kind of information about mental health conditions, some of the information about risks of suicide, self-harm, and treatments, and then mental health by number. So there's like data about mental health specifically here in the U.S. And so some of those warning signs that they have here listed on the website include like increased alcohol or drug use, aggressive behavior, withdrawal from family and friends, dramatic mood swings, impulsive or reckless behavior. Some of these things are not always always warning signs that are that people see. These things often sometimes happen behind closed doors when they're alone. And so, you know, being able to check on your loved ones and make sure that, you know, they're okay, or, you know, if there's someone's going through something, whether it be a divorce or job loss, you know, checking in on them and making sure that they have the support system that they need is also very, very important when identifying warning signs and being able to help those in your life.
We kind of talked about the young people, but I think another demographic of suicide in larger numbers is the elderly.
Yeah, that's one that we have kind of looked at over the past year as those numbers among the 60-plus and older population. And I think resources for them are becoming more prominent because it's becoming a larger issue. I know in Huron County, the Senior Life Solutions that is offered by the Huron or the Harbor Beach Community Hospital, they are always, always willing to answer questions from the elderly population, or if you are looking for support for a older older family member, you can definitely reach out to those Senior Life Solution agencies, whether it be here in Huron County, or there is also another one available in Tuscola County at the McLaren Carroll Region Hospital as well. And so those kinds of resources are available, and, you know, just bringing awareness for those and really trying to get the word out that these resources are available and to be able to connect with them is the first step in getting elderly the support that they need.
And I would think with the elderly, you know, as you were talking before, there are other factors involved. I mean, it could be things like their own health that they see is not going to get better, losing loved ones, friends, being more alone. All of these things factor in and may not be recognized by other family members.
Yes, exactly. And so, you know, I think, again, taking this month to really support and check in on your loved ones, regardless of their age or anything, making sure that they're okay and that they have the support and the means to live their lives and be able to take care of themselves and be able to have self-care and well-being is very, very important.
Does it take a little bit more than just touching base? Because some of these people are very good at hiding it, and they have all their lives have been the strong one in the family, and oh yeah, I'm doing fine. There's no reason to be concerned. And you, if you don't probe further, you're going to miss it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think it's important to check in on them constantly and to also, you know, be that support system that's physically there. So actively listening, as well as taking them and doing things with them, you know, doing activities, showing them the self-care options that they could do on their own. So if you aren't always able to be with them, they have other ways to kind of take care of themselves. So whether that be exercising or yoga or joining support groups, you know, trying to get them the help that they need in different ways so that they can do it on their own. Because I know oftentimes people don't want to ask for help. And so being able to provide them with some ideas of how to self-care for themselves is very, very important as well in getting them the help that they need at that time of crisis, if they are to that point.
Do you have to look beyond the person? Do you, maybe their surroundings, perhaps they were always a, kind of a neat freak and they're just letting it go because they don't care anymore, these types of things. It could be that they physically can't do it. It could be that they're depressed. Do you need to explore further?
Yeah. I definitely think that, you know, being able to be there and have the support during or the times of just really when people are going through those tough times. Like I had mentioned, you know, those divorce, those losing the job, losing a loved one. Those are all very, very tough times in people's lives. And so, you know, checking in on them, being there for them, supporting them, getting them the help that they need. And it's as simple as maybe even setting up a call with your community mental health agency to get them signed up to talk to someone, a professional in that case, if they are to that point.
The whole point is prevention, but unfortunately it does happen. Is there help out there for the survivors?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the big things of these of the walks that are happening this weekend, is to really celebrate the survivors that are still able to be here with us. Obviously, yes, we want to remember those who we have lost, but also to support the survivors and show that, you know, they are on the journey of life, and that we're here to celebrate their lives as well. And so I think it's really important. I think also, again, those suicide coalitions are another option for survivors to join. Like I said, a lot of the community mental health agencies and some of the private offices that offer counseling and therapy have support groups for those that are survivors, and, you know, even family members that have lost a loved one are also encouraged to check out those as well.
So it helps that you feel you're not alone in this, that you have to bear it alone, and that you can gain knowledge and just an outlook that it's going to get better from people who've already gone through it.
Yes, definitely. You know, some of those testimonials and things, hearing other people's stories is so powerful, I think, in people's journeys of mental health. And so I think that in itself, having those support groups is huge on that road to getting back on their feet and getting them back to really who they truly are.
And have we made any strides? I mean, are the numbers going up? We've had the pandemic, so I'm just wondering if that stress added to everything else.
I'm sure it is, but honestly, like I mentioned, I'm not a mental health expert, mm-hmm. so I don't see the data side of things. And oftentimes with the data and the things, with the impacts, we don't really see those necessarily until a few months from now or a year or two from now. So I can't really speak on that. But I will say I feel like from the mental health providers that we currently have in our partnership, they have mentioned that, you know, they are worried about our population here in our rural community as we move forward in the next years to come of the impacts that COVID had on us.
Because people are stuck alone at home. They don't go out, and all of this contributes that isolation to perhaps going down the wrong road.
Yes, exactly. I think the biggest thing is with COVID is that the isolation that has been brought upon many of our community members here, and just kind of that fear that everyone has felt with not being sure, you know, do you go back to the office or do you go out in the public? You know, that fear of always never really knowing what the right thing to do is if they are concerned, obviously, if they have health conditions and things like that. And so obviously we hope that, again, you know, as we move forward, that people are aware of those resources that we have in the community, and that if they are isolated or they are feeling alone, that they can reach out to any of the community mental health providers or any of the private offices that we have, or even reach out to friends and family and let them know how they're feeling, and hopefully they can take the right steps to get them to the help that they need.
And even if it's not leading to suicide, the loneliness, the isolation can lead to depression, which is also something you don't have to live with.
Yes, exactly. You know, that's the importance of mental health. And I think, you know, improving your mental health and being able to, you know, have those support systems to be there so that you can express what you're feeling and things like that can make a huge difference.
Who do you seek first for help? I mean, you know, you would always think, oh, your family doctor, but, you know, you talk to him about medical things and maybe you're not comfortable talking about personal things like this. Is this where the community mental health offices and health providers in the area come into play?
Yes, definitely. There are lists available. I know even for specifically for Huron County, Huron Behavioral Health has a list of all of the therapy counselors, community mental health agencies that are available. And so we ask that you just go to their website and take a look at some of those. There's some additional information listed on there, or you can contact Huron Behavioral Health, and they should be able to help and get you to the right place if you are in need of professional help.
And I know they try to work around if you, if you're not loaded with money or if your insurance isn't the greatest. I know they try to find you somebody.
Yes, definitely. Like I said, we just encourage you to reach out, make that phone call, that first initial step. And I know you had mentioned 211. That's another great resource that is kind of underutilized often. They have 211 is available to help those in need. And so if you can give them a call, and they can probably connect you with either the community mental health agencies or someone else that can get you some professional help.
I've learned through the years that the easiest way to start putting something back into proper perspective is to say it out loud to someone else. When we internalize it, it just seems to like grow and grow and balloon. It's best to just get it out.
Yes, exactly. As I mentioned, it's important to just reach out and, start those conversations with your loved ones and normalize the conversation about mental health and suicide, and really realize that suicide is not the answer. And it's okay to talk about it, but, support your friends and family as much as you can.
Sometimes when there's been a suicide, there's hesitancy for people as time goes on not to bring that person up to close family and friends. Is that a mistake? Should we not lose the memory of them?
I really think that probably would depend on the person. Again, I feel as though it just, depending on your relationship with that loved one or that friend or family that maybe lost someone to suicide, it really just depends. So I can't necessarily say yes or no, but I think it's important to realize that, being there for those that have lost loved ones is the most important thing.
Because I know people who have lost children, they hurt for a while, and you try to be gentle, but after a while, they were of an important part of the family, and, they need to be to go on in our memories. So it seems like, you might have to find the right time, but because you've lost them to suicide doesn't mean they never existed.
Yeah.
Okay, I know you're not a real, therapist yourself. You work with the coalition to try and organize things and get things going.
Yeah.
So perhaps I'm getting a little too deep and heavy in here. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I think it's just, I think the biggest thing is just normalizing this conversation. I mean, coming from someone that grew up here, it's important to realize that, we've made leaps and bounds, just from me being in this position of realizing how many resources are available here in our community and trying to shed light on those resources. So, I mentioned the community mental health agencies, those private sectors within the therapy and counseling organizations, even your family doctor, those are all great resources to learn about other resources or agencies or programs that we have here in our community. And previously we had mentioned something about man therapy. That's another subpopulation that's a high risk, and specifically in our communities. Because rural communities are at higher risk for some of those things as well. And so I do just want to kind of touch on that as well. You know, with Man Therapy, you know, it's an online resource. It's available 24/7, 7 days a week, and it connects men to some of those local resources also. You can go on to the site and you can select local resources near me, and you can select the Thumb of Michigan and 14 local resources with their website, phone number, and any information that you may need to contact and set up an appointment or reach out are all available on that website. So I think that's another big portion of this, is that we want to promote some of those available resources that are here in our community for those subpopulations in here in the Thumb.
And you talked about going on the web, and that can be dangerous when you're looking for information. You need to go to a reliable source. You can Google it, and you'll probably find herbal remedies coming up first. I mean, you have to get to a reputable place to actually get solid, good information.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, which would be a good one to start with? Is there a suicide prevention website that you can go to?
So the National Alliance of Mental Illness, so it's NAMI.org, NAMI.org, and they have lots of resources. You can share your journey. You can find support and education, how you can get involved in bringing awareness for mental health, as well as, you know, just information about the Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. You know, obviously May is Mental Health Month. There's lots of different things that you can get involved in on this website. I think it's a good start to really become educated and learn how to support those in our community that are dealing with mental health issues.
Okay. Now you again have an event coming up this Saturday.
Yes. And so, you know, going back to that, in Huron County, they are having their suicide walk on September 11th, which is Saturday, from 9 until 12 at the Huron County Nature Center in Port Austin. And then in Sanilac County as well, they're having theirs on Saturday from 9:30 to 12 at the Sanilac County Fairgrounds. And then Tuscola County is also this weekend, which is on Sunday, from 1 to 3 at the Tuscola County Courthouse. And then Lapeer County is September 18th, and that's at 1 p.m. at Rowden Park in Lapeer.
And when you go there, you may find people there who are going through just what you're going through, or just people who care and want to help. But either way, it's a positive.
Yes, definitely. And I think a few of them will be having guest speakers talk about their journeys and to really kind of show people, you know, the mental health journey that some of those in our community have been on. And so we, like I said, I encourage everyone to get out this weekend and attend one of those events. You know, and there's other resources. So again, this is an opportunity for community organizations to come out and have tables and booths to share out information about what they offer and what they do. And so me personally, I will be at the Tuscola County Suicide Walk on Sunday giving out information about Man Therapy. And so I believe at all the other suicide walks, there will be similar information, so resource bags or tables that people can collect information about the different organizations that are available in our communities.
Is this generally considered to be something more for adults, or is it, you know, the whole family gets hurt? Do you bring the family?
I would encourage the whole family, because I definitely think, again, this is helping normalize the conversation and normalizing mental health and suicide awareness. I think it's just getting people out and aware of the resources that we have in our community and being able to really have the whole family involved to remember those that we've lost and to celebrate the survivors that are with us.
Well, I appreciate you taking time with us. Anything else you want to make sure we touch on?
Nope. The biggest thing is to remember that if you or someone you know is in an emergency, to call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, and that's 800-273-TALK, or call 911 immediately. You know, we want to encourage anybody that may be experiencing a mental health crisis to reach out and ask for help.
Very good. I hope you get a good turnout this weekend, and thank you for being with us today.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Craig.
Our guest today on the program has been Carrie Granz. She is the program coordinator for the Thumb Community Health Partnership. It is Suicide Awareness Month, Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. We want to prevent suicides, and it is a good opportunity to get some information. It is something there in the community. It isn't talked about a lot, but maybe it should be so that we can better deal with it. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news here at WLEW.
Man, I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much. I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We all make choices. When it comes to alcohol, kids make choices whether to drink or not.
Bye, Dad.
Bye-bye.
Remember, I'm going to Alex's party tonight and sleeping over.
Hey, Em, have a seat for a second. Remind me about that party again.
Alex is just.
And adults make choices whether to talk about it. That's true of parents and every other trusted adult in a kid's life. Kids want to know our expectations when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. They want guidance and honest answers to their questions. And it makes a difference when the message is consistent and part of everyday conversations. So talk with your kids and help lead them on a positive path. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Early detection and